think this thing's on. Yeah, I hear myself. Good deal. How is everybody tonight? Good to see you all. Glad to be here. I've been here once. That was during the gospel meeting that y'all had, and I'm glad to be back. My wife and child would be here, but as soon as he got home from daycare, he had 101 fever and not feeling good, so she's at home taking care of him. I'd appreciate the prayers on his behalf and hers, and hopefully we don't all get it. But anyway, glad I can kick off the summer series tonight and be able to talk about these things. Friends, we have been called to be a peaceable people. Did you know that? We are not supposed to be warriors of a sense that we are supposed to be physical, that we are supposed to be just vicious people. Our Lord has called us so much more than that. We are people of peace. And I'm glad that we are. I'm glad that the Bible offers that. There's so many different aspects of peace. You could go into many things. But tonight I want to look at three dimensions of this. And I know we got some time. And I want to tell you, too, I'll treat it like a Bible class. And don't be afraid to, if you have something, raise your hand and we can talk about it and stuff like this. Because I know we do have some time, but I do have some material to cover. So feel free to let me know if you have anything on your mind pertaining to the subject. But we'll go ahead and get started. Three dimensions of peace. Fruits of the Spirit, I promise you, this is a wonderful study. We're doing the same one at Sylvester. We start ours in a couple weeks. And I've preached on two of them so far, and this is one of them. And excited to be able to do this with you. But let's just go ahead and get started and look at some of these and see where we can go. It's 2 Corinthians 13, 11 through 14. You're welcome to turn to it or look at the screen. I'll have them all posted as well up here. But it says, "Finally, brethren, farewell." Listen to what Paul's saying. Farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. Listen to that. And the God of love and the peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. I love these verses. I love every verse in the Bible. But listen to what he said. And as we go over this again, because this is really, you could take all these scriptures and count them as our main verse tonight. Because every one of them are packed filled of things that, listen, we need to apply to our lives. Listen to this stuff. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. We're supposed to be united as God's people, aren't we? We are. If we're not, there's something wrong. There needs to be peace in the congregation. If there's not, God's not happy with it. Live in peace, and the God of love and comfort be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. There's all kinds of funny stories for that verse in the sense of what's going on in the world. People would come in the doors, and preacher would just lay a kiss on the lady when she came in. And then the next woman would come in, he'd do the same thing, and he said, and one man got so mad, he said, "Why are you doing this?" And he said, "Well, it does say greet one another with a holy kiss." And man, that didn't settle well. But obviously, that's not what it means, is it? It doesn't mean that we should be doing that, but it was a thing of that culture, just like you see Italian people in that sense, kissing one another. And in that sense, nothing too much of that sense. But let's look at peace. Make sure I'm on the right place here. Peace with God. We got peace with others, peace within our souls. And friends, these are so important. Think about how many people do not have any of this. They may have peace with others. I mean, you hear a lot of maybe some of your religious friends. I hear some of my best friends. My best friend I grew up with always told me, he said, we talked Bible and we talked about some things, but you know what he always said? I'm a good person. I'm a good person. And he was. I knew him. I mean, we grew up together day in and day out. I knew who he was. If he wasn't a good person, I wouldn't be with him. Most people have peace with others. But let's look at peace with God as well and peace within our soul. Let's just get right into it tonight. Peace with God. Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If this isn't one of your favorite verses, it should be. It should be because, friends, that means a lot, doesn't it? That obviously is just a pinnacle of what we have in Christ Jesus. We have peace with God. Many people don't have peace with God. If people haven't obeyed the gospel, there is no peace with God, is there? Their sins haven't been forgiven. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, ultimately what will separate us from God is sin. And that is not peace with God. A lot of people misuse this verse to understand, to try to teach certain doctrines have been justified by faith. You know, many will say faith only, that faith is what we need to do only. But we know that that's not the case. You look at what the Greek means, you look at what the original means, and understand that faith is more than just that. Sometimes, and I don't mean this flippantly, but the world treats religion and Jesus just like Santa Claus. I'm being serious when I say that. They treat him in such a nature and say, you know, the Lord just said believe. The Lord just said believe. He did say believe. And we should believe. If we don't believe, we'll die in our sins. John 8:24. We also have to be baptized, don't we? Those things coincide right with one another. Mark 16:16. And absolutely. I'm glad, friends, that we have peace with God. We're Christians, and we're living right, and we're living faithful to Him. Revelation 2:10, we have peace with God. Isn't that wonderful? Any question or comment? And I want to make sure that I stop and give you opportunity. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Peace with God. If you have anything, let me know. We'll continue on. Peace with God even more. Our peace with God comes as a result of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Please note that many people want God, but sometimes they don't want Jesus and His church. You ever heard anybody say that? Well, I love God, and I even love Jesus, but I don't want His church. Have you ever heard that before? I know I have, an abundance of times. But friends, we know that all spiritual blessings are found where? Absolutely. In Christ. They're not found anywhere else. Sometimes people go looking for peace, and they go looking for all different kinds of answers. And you know where they're looking? In the wrong place. They're looking in the world. You know, maybe this person over here, maybe this psychiatrist, and don't get me wrong, psychiatrists, people that will help us through certain situations, those are good people, and we need people like that. The one who will ultimately fix our problems is Jesus Christ. Well, people are looking in the wrong place, friends. But the only way we can have that is to have a relationship with Christ. Now listen, you hear that abused, don't you, as well? A lot of things in the religious world, you hear this abused as a result of our relationship with Christ. People will say, you know, you have to have a personal relationship with Christ. And you know generally what that refers to. It's faith only, have a relationship with Him. But friends, I'm here to say we do have to have a relationship with Him, don't we? If we don't, something's wrong. If He is not our intercessor and the one who goes before us, before the throne room of God, there's something wrong. We have to have a relationship with Him. That's a peace. Isn't that wonderful peace? We could stop right there and just sing praises the rest of the night, couldn't we? That's peace. Having peace with God. My, man, we could talk about it all night. Romans 8:1 is the next scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We can smile when reading that verse. We can ponder upon it and thank God that there is no condemnation to us, that if we, as it says, if we don't walk after the flesh and we walk after the Spirit, if we do these things, we obey His Word. That's a wonderful peace. Wonderful, wonderful peace. You can take the whole book of Romans and it will lather all of this subject up. We'll go even further. Look at John 8:33 through 36. It says, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? I want you to listen to this for just a second. At this present time, when Jesus was talking to these people, were the Jews under bondage to anybody? Now think about it. Who did they have to go to have Jesus crucified? Who was it? The Romans, right? They were in bondage to them. They were underneath them in that sense. There were certain things that they could not do. So in other words, this is a bold-faced lie that they just told Jesus. It's amazing to think about what they were saying. And you notice what Jesus says in verse 34. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. What are the wages of sin? You are exactly right. You know, a lot of people are serving sin today. and serving Satan and his devices, do you know what that pays out? Death. It pays nothing good. You know, sometimes people are selling their soul. They're going to have their soul lost one day, and they're trading it for a whole lot less for what heaven is worth. That's not very peaceable. You know, the Bible gives us so much peace. Not all funerals are sad ones, are they? We'll get into that in just a minute. Not all funerals are sad ones. And yes, we do mourn for those who pass away, and absolutely, I've mourned a good bit. But you know, if a child of God passes on to the next life, there's peace in that, isn't there? There's peace in this. Listen to what Jesus says even more. I say to you, whoever commits the sin is a slave of sin. And the slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. We know Jesus is talking about himself here. Jesus is the only thing that can set us free. The truth will set us free. Jesus is the truth. All these things go into this, friends. To understand that there's so much peace in this. And friends, if we're serving sin, we may be a child of God, but did you know that if we're serving sin, we have no peace with God? Falling back into it. Let's go even further. Ephesians 1:7 is the next scripture. Listen to these verses. Listen to these comforting things. This should give you peace just listening to these verses. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The redemption through His blood. Does it say that we can have another avenue to have that done? There's not a plan B, isn't there? There's not a plan B that's, you know, somewhere else in the Scriptures that says, well, if you don't want to go through Jesus, it can be found in, you know, Jude 1:3. No, that's not what the Bible tells us. The only peace that can be found is through Him, the forgiveness of sins. Friends, we need to preach this to people. You know, there's a lot of people that are religious. Do y'all have any religious friends? I know I do. I know in Sylvester, we went door knocking last Saturday. We'd knock on the door. Most folks went somewhere on Sunday and Wednesday. They're religious, as we would say. And of course, we know some things don't coincide with that. Some things go with that. But friends, we need to preach this. Preach it to them and preach it to everybody. 2 Timothy 2:10 is the next scripture. We're looking at a lot of scripture. And if a sermon isn't filled with it, there's something wrong with it. That's the way I've always looked at it. That's what we're preaching. 2 Timothy 2:10. He says, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Breaking this verse down, will endure all things for the sake of the elect. Who is the elect? I heard it. What is it? That's right, Christians, right? The Christian race. Many people have taken this verse. I worked with a friend that believed truly that God had an elect amount of people that were going to heaven. There's nothing you could do to fall from that, and there's nothing that you could do to obtain grace later on. That's not what this teaches. Friends, it does teach that the elect, Christians, those who are called out, those who obey the gospel, the church, can be saved. They also may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus. That's where it's at. So be sure to point that out to people you talk to, because that is our God-given responsibility. 1 Timothy 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, are what? That's right. It doesn't say our possible hope. Friends, there's a lot of Christians, if you ask them, because this has been done before. There's a lot of Christians that have been asked, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? You know what many of the responses were? Well, I hope so. I hope so. I hope that I'm good enough. I hope that my sins are forgiven. Friends, if Jesus has told us that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, continually cleanses us. Friends, if we've asked forgiveness, and we do as He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to what? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The Lord promised that. That's a promise. The same promise that was in Mark 16, verse 16, is just as valid as those verses that I just listed in 1 John. That's a promise. Both of them are. Many promises Jesus made. If he is faithful and just, He will forgive us of our sins. We don't need to have that mentality, by the way. Well, I hope I'm saved. If we're doing that, there may be some sin in our life that may be not repented of, or there may be some sin that we're serving on a daily basis, you know, having Jesus in one hand and possibly having something else in the other. That can't be done. Can't serve two masters, can we? Can't serve two masters. Any other question or comment? Feel free to chime in. And like I said, this is more of a Bible class, I guess, and I just want to make sure that I'm giving y'all opportunity. But we do have hope in Jesus, don't we? It's nowhere else. Many people go look in other places. I seen something on the way over here that, you know, something of Islam. There was a building, there was, you know, many people believe in Islam, many people believe in Buddha. Friends, we know God said, hear ye Him, didn't He? Hear ye Him. He didn't say, hear Buddha. He didn't say, hear Muhammad. You can go and see Muhammad's remains in the Middle East over there if you want to. But you can't find the remains of Jesus. No one ever will, because He's in heaven. Ephesians 1:3. This is the verse I told you about that we need to be echoing throughout the world when we teach people and talk to people. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings. There's nothing lacking in Jesus. Could the blood of bulls and goats take away sins? Absolutely not. Think of how many animals died in the Old Testament being sacrificed for sin on behalf of the people. Pretty good bit. I'd hate to see the number because, I mean, it would just be mind-boggling to think about this. But friends, in Christ Jesus, all things have been provided for. Not some of them. We have the hope of Him. We have that hope because of Him and what He did. That's something we can look forward to as a Christian. Absolutely. Count our blessings every day. If we have nothing else to be happy about, we can be happy about this right here. There is no peace with God outside of Jesus Christ. And as we'll continue this, there is no peace with God outside of Jesus Christ. In the days of Noah, you think of what went on there, and you look at even salvation even further. But the days of Noah, you remember Noah? You remember the things that went on there? Because the next verse that we're going to look at, 1 Peter 3:21, friends, I wished I would have found this verse so much earlier in my life. Because I can remember so many times people asking me, you know, y'all teach that baptism is required for salvation, but we know that's not how God works, is what people would say. What does this verse say right here? Baptism is what saves us, isn't it? Not something we do, not something that we earn personally, but it is a command of God. It is what puts us in that place that we need to be. Acts 22:16 is what washes away our sins, isn't it? It gives us hope. But it says, there is also an antidote which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friends, that's hope. You think about the days of Noah, the only hope was inside that ark, wasn't it? No doubt about it. There was all kinds of people outside of the ark, and I'm sure when that rain started to fail, people started to realize real quick that they were dead wrong, and Noah was right. There was one way. Salvation is the same way. The Lord didn't build many arks, did He? He built one. How many churches did He build? One. Matthew chapter 16, 13 through 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. When we say my, and I tell my wife, you know, or tell people, you know, this is my wife, does that mean that that is somebody else's wife? They better check it right, because I promise you, she is mine. She is not anybody else's. But in a much more serious sense, I've had people tell me this all the time. There are so many ways to get to heaven, we're just taking different paths to get there. Friends, the Bible tells us that the Lord is united. One church, one body, one faith, one baptism. Friends, the Lord is not going to divide families. You could make many illustrations. I remember Brother B.J. Clark telling us of a real situation that happened. A little girl was so tore up one time because her mother and father went to two different churches. And she was just boo-hooing and boo-hooing because Daddy was going to one church and Mama was going to another. And she actually said, I'm just disappointed in God, is what the little girl said. And she said, why is that? Because I figured God would want us to go to the same church. That woke some people up. Because friends, God is not divided. There's peace in that. There's peace in the house when we live the way God wants us to live. Let's go a little bit further. Peace with others. Man, oh man, is there so much to talk about with this. But you look at this, friends. Promoting peace within and outside the body of Christ. Are we supposed to be peaceable people? Yes or no? Yes, sir. If we are not, we're not living how Jesus would want us to live. I promise. It's what the Scripture tells us. Did you know that we're supposed to be peaceable with people outside these walls? Did you know there's some Christians that don't do that? I know of a preacher, a gospel preacher, at one time, and I hope he's repented of this and changed. And there was something going on at the school, and his children went there. And it was something that went on, and the parents didn't agree with it whatsoever, and they had basically a protest. And it wasn't a very peaceful protest. It was kind of, you know, there's not really a super peaceful protest nowadays. But you know what I'm getting at. He went there, and the elders told him, look, we really don't feel comfortable with you going. This could give a bad name to the church. He went anyway, and you know what he told them? Today, I am not a preacher. I'm a concerned parent. Friends, when did Christianity become something that we take off like a jacket and put up on the hanger? It's not, is it? That's not what Jesus would have us to do. You can think of many other illustrations, many other things maybe that you personally know of. Friends, we're called to be peaceable people. We need to have peace with people outside these walls. We need to have people that are peaceable within. After all, we're going to heaven together, Christians. Sometimes there's Christians, one sits on one side of the church building, one sits on the other. They haven't talked in 35 years. Do we think that the Lord is pleased with that? Matthew chapter 18 and many other verses that Jesus talked about, if we have a problem with our brother, what does he say? That's right. Go to him, first off, but leave your offering at the altar. Go. Fix that, because your worship will be in vain. We need to be peaceable people. We need to live in peace. Friends, if we're not doing that, that's not what the Lord would have us to do. 1 Peter 2:13 through 16. Listen to these verses, and we go through a lot. You know, our nation's dealt with a lot. But these verses still apply. Listen to these things. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or to governors as to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Notice what it says, though. For the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme or to the governors, we could read it over and over. But friends, as Christians, did you know that we need to submit to the laws of this land? Unless they go against the laws of God, we need to be good citizens, don't we? We're called to do that. And only time that we need to disobey the laws of this land, Acts 5:29, the laws of that land, the people, they were telling them, and the higher-ups of the Jews were telling them, hey, we told you not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. You know what Acts 5:29 says? We ought to obey God rather than men. And that's the way it has to be. But friends, we need to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. You look at Romans chapter 13, you know why government's here? It's to protect us. It's for the good. Sometimes I know things get wishy-washy and things happen, but friends, the way that God designed it and ordained it, it's for the good. It's to bring punishment upon those who are evildoers, just as it said in this verse in verse 14. We need to respect that. Be peaceable with the law. You know, sometimes there was an old story that happened, and my father, I promise you, could tell you He could write you a book. He's been doing law enforcement for 30-plus years. He could write you a book and tell you all kinds of stories. There was one time, though, that a woman was driving a car, and she got into traffic, and she was so upset that she raised down her window. She was screaming out the window, saying cuss words and everything, and you name it. She proceeded to do this, and a police officer pulled up and pulled her over, held her at gunpoint, and said, "Get out of the car," and arrested her. They took her down to the jail, and you know what they told her? They said, "Ma'am, you know why we arrested you?" She said, "Why?" He said, "Well, there was bumper stickers on your car that said, 'Follow me to Sunday school,' and 'Follow me to Jesus,' and you go on." There was many bumper stickers. They said, "Ma'am, we figured the car was stolen by the way you were acting." I would think that too, wouldn't you? Seeing all those bumper stickers, "Follow me to Sunday school," if that woman's teaching Sunday school, there's something wrong. She needs to be fixed immediately, brought back by the elders, whatever. But friends, the point to be made is there are Christians in real life situations that act that way. My dad has arrested many a people. He's arrested his own family before. So-called Christians wearing the name of Jesus, but acting nothing like it. We have to be careful, and we need to live as Jesus would have us live, in peace, peaceable. That's what we're called to do. Philippians 3:20 is the next verse. Philippians 3:20. "For our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our citizenship is in heaven. Many people have asked one time, and I've heard this preached before many, many times, why are we good citizens? Don't get me wrong, I love the United States of America. The greatest country there is. I'm proud to be part of it. I'm proud of the men and women that have fought and died to give us this freedom. No doubt about that. I mean, you name it. I'm proud to be an American. Friends, you know why I'm a good American citizen? It's not because I just live here. It's not just because I'm an American. It's because my citizenship is in heaven. Let me encourage you to live that way. Live that way, listening to these scriptures, that your citizenship, if you're a child of God, is in heaven, and we need to act that way. We're good citizens here because we're citizens there. Remember that. Matthew 5, verse 9. You're talking about a powerful verse, and before we start into this, I heard this one time as well, that friends, maybe you're having marriage trouble. Just read the Beatitudes. That's a starter. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Do we think that Jesus likes peace? Absolutely, if he's saying that. "Blessed are the peacemakers." Are you a peacemaker in the home? Am I a peacemaker in the home? Do I promote peace? Am I a peaceable person? If this is what I should desire. This is what I should desire. Listening to Jesus, "For they shall be called the sons of God." That's a high calling right there. Hebrews 12:14. "Pursue peace with all people." Is there any people that you have a hard time getting along with? I know I have been tested time and time again. There are some people that just absolutely get on your nerves, isn't there? Because they're hard people to get along with. But friends, it says pursue peace with all people. Are we pursuing that? Maybe there's someone that you have a hard time dealing with. Are you pursuing that? "All holiness without which no one will see the Lord." Friends, if we're not holy, you know, we have been called to be holy. I've been told that's one of the biggest problems of the church today, that people are not being holy. They're not being what God would have them to be. We're called to be holy. "Be ye holy as I am holy," is what the Scriptures tell us. Friends, if we're not holy, if we're not peaceable people, we will not see the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to see Jesus. I've been on this earth for 26 years. I'm ready to see Jesus. I haven't been through anything crazy dramatic. Yes, I've had problems in my life, but I want to see Jesus. I know many of you have been here, 80, 90, 60, 50, you name it. There's all kinds of ages in here. Are you ready to see Jesus? Let's work on being peaceable so we can see Him. That's what we want. Romans 12, 17 through 18. It says, "Repay no one evil for evil." Let me ask you, is that what the world teaches? Nope. The world says, "Hey, look, Somebody does this to you, do it double back. You know, if somebody plucks your eye out, pluck two of them out. You know, you name it. That's the way the world thinks. Have regard for good things in the spirit of all men, it says. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. It's a command. It's a command. But friends, if it is possible, sometimes it may not be possible to live peaceably with some men. Some men may come in here with guns and swords and may want to kill us. And you know, that's kind of hard to live peaceably with someone who won't live peaceably with us, isn't it? That's hard in that situation, but we need to be a peaceable people. We need to make sure that on our account that we've done everything that we need to do. Peace with others, promoting peace within and outside the body of Christ. We've talked about this just a little bit, but please, I need to reiterate this even more. I know there's one more to be clicked there. Promoting peace within and outside of the body of Christ. Friends, there's a big problem going on even recently that, you know, people have a hard time respecting police officers. Many people have a hard time respecting, you name it. Because we're called to be peaceful people. You know, we need to respect our elders. They're going to give account for our soul one day, is what the Scripture tell us. And sometimes in so many congregations, many people despise the elders. I hate that so much, and I know the Lord does. That's not the way God would have it. Make sure that that never happens here. Love them. Be peaceable. Be what Jesus would want you to be. Live in peace. Friends, live in peace. We're called to do that. The challenge of communication. I can promise you that I worked 2.5 years for the Georgia State Patrol in dispatch. That's what I did. I worked Northwest Georgia. Troop A is what they called it. We had a lot of troopers, had a lot of stuff go on. But you know, if communication lacked, you know what could possibly happen? Somebody could die. I mean, I can remember that one time that, and I was working a call, and I remember pressing the button. I had the radios work on a computer now, for the most part. I remember clicking the button, and the trooper would key up and talk, and I would answer him. Then all of a sudden, the communication went out. Well, in that situation, you know what you do? Call the cavalry. He sent everybody out there because he was on a traffic stop. Communication ceased. There's a problem to be had. When communication ceases, bad things happen. Think about it in the Lord's church. If communication ceases, if communication of peace, if we're not peaceable people, we're not talking to one another, if we're not doing these things, think of what all could go wrong. Problems in the church. We need to do what Jesus said, Matthew 18, and go to those people if we have a problem. Things will be a lot better if we do it the Lord's way. Listen to this communication. I love studying the Proverbs, and I know if you have, you've enjoyed it as well. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You ever had somebody come up to you and just blast you for everything that you were? Maybe upset with you, maybe it was your spouse, maybe they just got so upset and they just flew off the hinge, as we say. Did you answer them in a peaceful way? It's amazing. I've had many people do this in my life and come up to me, and I'm not perfect by all means, I promise you. I've done it this way. I've had the harsh word come out. I'm guilty of that. Friends, if we give a soft answer, it turns away wrath. That's what the Bible says. A soft answer turns away wrath. If we want to be peaceable people, listen to the Scriptures. It's easy to retaliate. It's easy to get defensive. It's easy to blow up. We know if we do, it stirs up anger. It stirs up problems. Let the Scriptures communicate with us. Let's see here. Examination of our words before they are spoken. You know, have you ever had anybody tell you, trying to remember exactly how they put it, my grandfather said this one time. He said, you know, I'm just one of those type of people, I tell you what's on my mind. Have you ever had that happen before? Maybe you've said it, but let me encourage you, and I've been guilty of this myself, but listen, don't believe that lie that the devil has given us. And what I mean is, check your words before they proceed out of your mouth. And the Scripture tells us that. Don't just speak something because it comes off of your mind. It may be a correct statement, but if it comes off in the wrong way, We haven't done anything good. We need to be peaceable. When we talk to people, we need to examine our words. What does James say to do with the tongue? That's right. Bridle it. The tongue can no man tame, but we are supposed to bridle it like the helm on a ship, the little bitty thing on the back of a ship that turns that boat when you turn the steering wheel. Like a bit in the horse's mouth, as it says, you know what the bit does? It turns the whole horse. Isn't that wild? That, you know, many-pound beast that is carrying you, that little bitty bit in the front of its mouth carries that thing. You know that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me? Just look at all the broken marriages that are in the United States of America today and ask them, was there any words that hurt your marriage and maybe pushed it off the edge? I'd probably tell you every one of them said yes to that answer. Words will tear down people. Words will cut sharper than any knife sometimes. We need to be peaceable. Peaceable people, especially in the way we communicate. Speak like Jesus would. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Let your speech always be with grace. Ephesians 4 has even more to say about this. Friends, we need to be careful. Seasoned with salt, that you may know what you ought to answer each one. Man, that's a powerful scripture. Peace within our soul, as we continue, and this is the last point. Peace within our soul. You know, I can remember before I became a child of God, I feared death more than anything. I can remember that was one of the things that got me thinking about the gospel plan of salvation. Hey, what do I need to do to fix this? Because I can remember thinking about death in my bed at night. And my brother will tell you the same thing. He was scared of death. Me and him can agree on that. You know, but peace within our own soul, conveying a sense of peace. Is there a peace with being a Christian? Is there? Absolutely. If we don't know that, we need to start studying now, because it is time to know it. There's a peace with being a child of God, no doubt about it. I don't understand how people of the world don't become Christians. Maybe they don't understand the importance of it. Maybe they don't do it. But friends, to understand what peace comes with being a child of God, there's so much. If I die today, it's going to be okay, because I have Jesus on my side. I know you do too if you're a child of God. There's a humongous sense of peace. I mean, you name it, friends. It goes hand in hand. Matthew 26:75. We've got a couple more minutes and I got a little bit to go. Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who said unto him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So we went out and wept bitterly. Humongous study that goes into even what that means. Wept bitterly. We know what it means to weep. This was an awful crying. Awful, awful, awful. But do you think that he had a peace in his soul after denying the Lord? He was an apostle. This was Peter, after all, the one who in Matthew 16:13-18 said, hey, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You got it right, Peter. But he didn't have a peace with God at that moment, did he? Sinned. And the Lord told him he would do that, and he didn't believe it at first. Matthew 27:3-5, remember Judas. Judas says his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is it that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Obviously, when we sin, we don't need to go and do that, do we? God can forgive anyone. If Jesus can forgive the people that put the nails in his hands and say it publicly in front of them, Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do, he can forgive Judas for that. Let us remember these things. There was no peace with God, though, with Judas at that point. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace. Listen to that. Whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Friends, if we keep our mind on the Lord, as the Scripture says, he will keep us in perfect peace. Peace. I love having peace in my life. Imagine going through your life on this earth and having zero peace. Imagine not being able to go home and be able to kick your feet up and just relax and to have, you know, have some silence for just a minute and have just a peace of mind for just a second. All those are good, but peace with God is way better than any of that. As we conclude, Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. What was that? What was that, Paul? Rejoice. We have a reason to rejoice. We have a reason to be happy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. You think that coincides with peacefulness? Oh, I do. I know that it does. It coincides with being a follower of Jesus, being gentle with people, being peaceable with people. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, listen to this right here, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. That's a pretty good peace, isn't it? You know, that's a peace that I desire for all men to have. Because it's the greatest thing we could ever have. And that's only through Christ Jesus. Tonight we've looked at peace with God. We've looked at peace with others. We've looked at peace within our souls. Remember these things. If you don't take anything else from this lesson, just remember this. We've been called to be peaceable people. Let us portray that in our everyday life. Whether it's a telemarketer on the phone that calls us, or whether it's somebody that's here with us, a brother and sister in Christ, and maybe they have a problem with us, you know what we need to do? We need to be peaceable. Peace is a beautiful thing. I heard the bell, so I'll quit there. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you tonight.